help. We seek His aid and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own souls and from the wickedness of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is no one to lead them astray. And whomsoever Allah allows to stray, there is no one to guide them toward the right. I openly bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, who is alone and without partner. And I openly bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger and the seal of the prophets. O Allah, exalt Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad as you have exalted Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, so surely you are praised and magnified. Ameen. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad as you have blessed Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, so surely you are praised and magnified. Ameen. Ashab al-Sat, the people of Saturday. They were a town folk from the Bani Israel who were tested with the Sabbath, the day when they were to leave their worldly affairs and devote themselves to Allah. All week long, they would go fishing with bare returns. But on Saturdays, when they were required to put aside their activities, the fish would come in abundance. This indeed was a test from Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Araf, Ayah 163 in translation, and asked them about the town that was by the sea, when they transgressed in the matter of the Sabbath, when their fish came to them openly on their Sabbath day, and the day they had no Sabbath, they did not come to them. Thus did we give them a trial, because they were defiantly disobedient. SubhanAllah. A group of the townsfolk transgressed, not satisfied with Allah's commandments, devised a scheme to bypass the commandment of Allah. They would put out their fishing nets on Friday, and then on Sunday, they would come and pick the nets up. Now all the Saturday fish could be caught. The townsfolk divided into two groups when they saw the grave evil and sin that was befalling. One of them tried to advise the transgressors and warned them of the horrific consequences of their actions, commanding the good and forbidding the evil. Thinking they had no responsibility for what was taking place, the other group just went about minding their own business, holding that Allah would eventually destroy the sinners. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in translation, and when a community amongst them said, why do you advise or warn a people whom Allah is about to destroy or punish with a severe punishment? My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, listen carefully to the reply to those callers to the obedience of Allah. They said, the advisor said, to absolve before your Lord, and perhaps they may fear Allah. You can find this also in Surah Al-Araf, Ayah 164. So this happened for two reasons. One, so that they would be pardoned before Allah because we tried to hold back their hands. And two, that perhaps they may hear the reminder and turn back to Allah. And indeed, it was only this group that survived. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the same surah, Ayah 65 and 66, and when those advised, forgot that by which they had been reminded, we saved those who had forbidden evil and seized those who wronged with a wretched punishment, because they were defiantly disobeying. So when they were insolent about that which they had been forbidden, we said to them, be apes, despised. SubhanAllah. In one sweeping night, the punishment rained down, and they were transfigured into pigs and monkeys. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, it is the nature of a human being to feel the need to do good or feel the drive to indulge in evil. Even if he or she were to be alone, deserted and secluded, they would still feel a drive to do good or indulge in evil. From here, It is a characteristic of this ummah to not only do good ourselves, but we must, I repeat, we must encourage others to do good. We must be the driving force. And we not only distance ourselves from vice, but we must forbid others from doing it also. We must be the obstacle. So inshallah, this is what we're discussing right now. An amr bin ma'ruf wa nahi an munkar. To enjoin what is right and to forbid what is wrong. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, if you and I, if all the Muslims had identification badges, they would have to be a description of the owner. If it is a valid card, under the description, it should read, this man or this woman commands the good and forbids evil. For this is how Allah describes this in the Quran, in Surah Al-Imran, ayah 110, when he says, you are the best nation produced as an example for mankind. You enjoy what is right and forbid what is wrong and believe in Allah. If only the people of the scripture had believed it, it would have been better for them. Among them are defiantly disobedient. SubhanAllah. Good and bad, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam. When it comes to encouraging one or the other, there are two groups of people. The first are those that encourage others to do good and advise them to stop the evil they may be committing. These are the mu'minun wa mu'minat, the believing men and the believing women, the ones that shall be favored by Allah's mercy, because Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Tawbah, in Ayah 71, the believing men and believing women are allies of one another. They enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong, and establish prayer, and pay zakat, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Those, Allah will have mercy upon them. Indeed, Allah is exalted in might and wise. The second camp of people are those that encourage others toward evil, and stop them whenever they see them doing acts of virtue. These are the munafiqun wa munafiqat, the hypocrite men and the hypocrite women, those that Allah Azza wa Jalla shall shun. As Allah says in Surah Al-Tawbah, Ayah 67, the hypocrite men and hypocrite women are of one another. They enjoin what is wrong and forbid what is right, and close their hands from giving, spending in Allah's cause the charity. They have forgotten Allah, so He has forgotten them accordingly. Indeed, the hypocrites, it is they who are the defiantly disobedient. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from them and from being amongst them. Ameen. The Book of Allah, the Quran, tells us that the winners, those that attain success, are those Muslim men and women that command the good and forbid the evil. And Allah azza wa jalla teaches us that He cursed nations before us because they lost the characteristic of encouraging good and forbidding evil. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Ma'idah, in Ayahs 78 and 79, cursed were those who disbelieve amongst the children of Israel by the tongues of Daud and Isa, even Miriam. That was because they disbelieved and habitually transgressed. They used not to prevent one another from wrongdoing that they did. How wretched was that which they were doing. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, when a nation fails in their duty to command the good and forbid the evil, their invocation will cease to be accepted. And if we look at our own current situation as Muslims and the things that are happening to us, we can see that indeed we fall amongst this group. Sayyidina Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I swear by He who holds my soul in His hands, you shall indeed command the good, and you shall indeed forbid the evil. Otherwise Allah shall rain down upon you a punishment. Then you shall attempt to invoke Him, and your invocations shall be unanswered. And this is an authentic hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad and at Tanini. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam lived his entire life commanding the good and forbidding the evil. When he first arrived in Medina, the very first thing he said to the Ansars and the Muhajireen as they gathered to see his noble face, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as narrated by Abdullah ibn Salam, he said, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to Medina, the people raced to greet him. I went in the crowd to see him, and when I saw his face, I knew that that face was not the face of a liar. The first thing he said when he spoke was, O people, spread salam, feed the hungry, and pray at night when others are sleeping. You'll enter Jannah in peace. And this is an authentic narration by Ibn Majah. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would command the good and forbid the evil in all categories of the community. We see him with the young Muslims advising them, as in the following narration. Umar ibn Abu Salama said, I was a young boy under the care of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when my hand was jumping here and there in the food plate. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, O young boy, say Bismillah in the name of Allah first. Eat with your right hand and eat from what is in front of you. Ibn Abu Salama said, after that I always ate in that manner which I was taught. And this hadith can be found in Sahih Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim. And our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would encourage good manners amongst the Muslim women. As Zainab, the wife of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhuma, said, Allah's Messenger addressed us, O women, give charity, if even with your jewelry. This is in Bukhari and Muslims. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, even if it came to his own wives, our beloved Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed he would forbid. Umm al-Mu'mineen, Aisha bint Abu Bakr, the mother of the believers, Aisha the daughter of Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anha, herself narrates that she once said to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, watch out for Safiya, meaning that she was short. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you said a word that if it was to be mixed with all the water of the sea, it would overcome the water. And this is narrated by Abu Dawood. Mother Aisha radiyallahu anha said that after that, she would never have loved to mention someone in a manner that they would dislike, no matter what anyone would give her. SubhanAllah, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, this is what the deen is all about, encouraging the good and forbidding the evil. This is what the early Muslims pledged allegiance to. Ubaydah ibn As-Samad radiyallahu anhu said, we pledge allegiance to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to listen and obey in what we like or what we dislike, and that we do not fight the people of authority, and that we will stand for the truth wherever we may be, fearing not for the sake of Allah any criticism of those who would criticize. And this can be found in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. The scholar Qaris al-Haraqi rahimahullah rahmatullah alayhi, he used to go out unto the doers of evil and warn them of the sin they were doing. They would fall upon him with their fist until he would fall unconscious in a pool of his own blood. But this man, he would never pass the people without advising him. I remember once in Islamic school when a young boy came up and told me what he was going to get for his birthday. I was kind of surprised, since birthdays is not something we find in our complete way of life that we call Islam. This is indeed something we should not participate in. The classmates knew the ruling on birthdays, so they started chanting out loud after they heard the boy said this, "No more birthdays, no more birthdays." SubhanAllah. I was very pleased at the class reaction, and it brought back memories of myself growing up in a non-Muslim school. In that non-Muslim school, there was no one to forbid the evil. Rather, it was the evil that everyone, including the teachers, was encouraging. If you didn't have a birthday, you were the dork or the nerd in the class. And if you didn't get invited to the student's party or that one's party, you weren't one of the cool kids. May Allah Azza wa Jal show His mercy to those parents who are saving their young Muslim boys and Muslim girls from such an environment. Ameen. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gave us a parable that we should never forget in the issue of commanding the good and forbidding the evil. As An-Numan ibn Basir radiyallahu anhu said, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the similitude of the one who is steadfast on the borders of Allah and the one who has fallen over it, it is that of a people that came upon a boat. Some of them go to the top and others go to the bottom. Those on the bottom, in order for them to drink, had to disturb those on top. So they said to themselves, let us make a hole in the bottom of the boat, in this portion of ours, so as to not disturb those that are above us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued, if they leave them to what they want to do, they will all perish. And if they hold their hands, they will save the people on the bottom, and all of them will be saved. This can be found in Sahih Bukhari. My dear respected brother and sisters in Islam, when someone encourages good and forbids evil, they should have certain characteristics. One, they must have knowledge. Two, they should have patience, like Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam taught his son. Three, they should be just, not forgetting the good that the person still has. Four, they must have wisdom. Five, kindness to those whom they are advising. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the point of commanding good and forbidding evil is not to release some anger in our hearts or to revenge an insult to us. In the end, we want the person to receive guidance, something which may require us to swallow, something that may require us to swallow our own personal pride sometimes. Other times though, when the situation calls for it, we may actually have to hurt someone's feelings if that is the only way that this person can be guided. But it is only the person of ilm, of knowledge and hikmah and wisdom, that can properly measure the situation. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, hurting the feelings of the common Muslim is not a first resort, nor is public humiliation of someone who came to the masjid for the first time. These are methods of those who have not schooled themselves well in the characteristic of those that call to Allah. In conclusion, there are many ways that one can encourage good and forbid evil. So let you and I, try some of the following. First, with an encouraging speech or a lecture, invite the people to recite Al-Quran wa Sunnah. or send them an email if you don't have access to them, or write them a letter or whatever, which gives them good speech, or send them a lecture that enjoins the right and forbids for the wrong. Secondly, with a booklet, highlighting what needs to be encouraged, or just a general email. Third, with an Islamic tape given as a gift. Fourthly, with an Islamic magazine or newspaper. And last, or not last, but the last I have mentioned, with an email, with an email or letter addressing specifically to that person who needs to be encouraged or needs advice in abstaining from sin. And indeed, this list of methods can go on and on and on. You and I, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, indeed we want to be successful, correct? Well, if you want to be successful, here's the way to achieve it. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Ali Imran in Ayah 104, and let there be arising from you a nation inviting to all that is good, enjoining what is right, and forbidding what is wrong, and those will be the successful. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, let's begin today practicing this. Let's encourage the good and forbid the evil with that Muslim that we see in the mirror. Let's start there first. I've said what I have said, and I pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive me and forgive you. All that I said that is correct is from Allah and Allah alone, and the mistakes are from myself and the Shayateen. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك بارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خير السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. If there's any questions, please don't hesitate to ask, inshallah ta'ala. بارك الله فيكم.